Welcome. Oh, some nice feedback. Welcome to the, for me, in my Wednesday morning meditation. This is going to be more of a reflection than a meditation. I did not take the time. I normally take the time to prepare for the meditation with the subject, and I use different text to inspire me to do some meditation. But today is a little different. But you know, for the sake of maybe following up with my emotional outburst, yesterday was really emotional. It brought about a lot of reflection, and this is going to be more of a live reflection on the processes of the mind. And I think, for the sake of recording and regarding my thoughts, I think it could be very valuable. So one thing that is really important to understand in meditation is that your own mind can kill you. My own mind can kill myself, and not like on a spiritual level, but on a literal level. I've been going through myself some pretty drastic panic attack, but like not the I'm panicking and I'm calming down at home, but the panic attack where you finish ER, the hospital, and just kind of freak out. And it's been happening regularly for the last 6 years, maybe. Now I know that it's a bit more of a the state in which I was living, the toxic relationship I was living in, and my life was pushing me toward doing more panic attack. I did all the weird panic attack possible. I did sleeping panic attack. That was the worst. It seems like you're sleeping and then you wake up in a full-on panic. And so when I got to the hospital, I had to talk to the doctor a few times, and I was like, what? Like, how far can a panic attack go? And the doctor was really clear. He's like, well, you can go in a cardiac arrest in the full-on panic attack. And I was telling him, so it means your mind can kill your body. And he was like, yep, it can put you in any sort of state. And in the last couple of days, I was in not a panic attack, but an emotional distress, I would say, where I don't know what to do with my emotion, like where to go. I would just be like, I wanted my mind to stop. I wanted my emotion to stop. And I was kind of moving around. And then I would sleep, or I would have a nap, and I would wake up and everything was fine for a second. And then I would feel my mind coming back of like all the worries and the freaking out that I was having. So, you know, it was clearly self-created, and I could not step out of it. And then, you know, something happened, and then I completely, 100%, stepped out of this emotional distress. And everything was fine, and it's been fine. And I reflected a little more about it, and I was, wow. The suffering I'm living through is completely self-created, and you know, I know that, and I've reflected on that. I've seen that again and again and again, and yet I get lost in the forest of my emotion as if it was reality. Hold on, I need to grab a chair. And, so the question is then, like, what is, you know, what is created from my mind, and, you know, how to interact, you know, if yesterday or the day before I was very clear, I'd be like, I'm freaking out and I know it's not real. You know, it's like if you're afraid or if you're in a, you know, amusement park in the haunted house and you're like, you know, I'm afraid, but I know I'm safe, you know, but fear comes in. As a kid, when I was in roller coaster, you know, it would freaks me out. I was like so scared. And then at one point I was like, oh, I don't need to be scared because it's built for scaring me. There's a mechanism that's, you know, keeps me alive, even if it's scary. And then it kind of, you know, flipped a switch in my mind. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was not scared anymore. And, you know, I wish I could do that with my mind now, being like, everything is fine. You are, you know, in an emotional storm right now, but the foundation, it's fine. Just wait, you know, until the ride is over and you'll be back to normal. But I couldn't at that time, you know, do that. I was, yeah. And today I cannot imagine, I don't understand why yesterday I was in such a panic, in such a distress. It was deep. I was really, really, really far. And it's such a good reminder how suffering is self-created. And yeah, life is making fun of me. But in any case, so like how to use meditation to calm down this. One thing I realized is yesterday or the day before, what was happening is that I created a reality. I fed this reality. I created a fantasy. I created a love story. I created, you know, imagination, relationship, you know, intimacy, and kind of kept on feeding that sandcastle that I created. And then the ocean just came in and just like one wave kind of took over my sandcastle. And I was like, oh, it was just a sandcastle. And what I realized is that in the moment, I couldn't stop the turmoil. And what was created there is I created a current, a very strong current in my mind. Like if you're in a circular pool and you're running around that pool and then you create a current, and then out of a sudden you stop, you know, and you're kind of being dragged by that current and you cannot stop the current. You know, the current has to slow down by itself. And that's what I realized, you know, if I, you know, spend hours a day to feed a fantasy, when it come crashing with reality, the spin is still going, you know, the habit is still going. And the problem, like, for me, that was just like a few months of creating that reality. I would say probably 2 months of like focused energy where I would, you know, think about somebody and fantasize and do all that all the time. And then, you know, at a certain point, it kind of came to a close. It was like, nope, you know, and that kind of stopped me in my track, and then the current was still going and I couldn't stop the current, and I couldn't stop it, but then something else happened and then it stopped. Anyway, I don't know how how, you know, deep of a turmoil it can be, and then something happens and then it just completely stopped. So the second event just totally stopped the current, but the current that was still going before, I couldn't mentally stop it. So my reflection about that was like, how can I not create the currents? And to that, it needs a lot of reflection. And this is where meditation can become useful, or can actually do the opposite. So meditation is a tool, and it can be used for empowering or losing yourself into a practice. Meditation is not a cure-all, it's just a tool, and it's like a shovel. You can be digging your own grave with it, or you can be creating a beautiful pool in a forest with your shovel. So the tool doesn't mean that it's more pure or going to be helpful one way or another. A poison can be a medication, and too much of the same medication can become poisonous. And meditation is the same thing. You can, in the midst of my delusional fantasy, I used meditation in order to shift reality in a certain direction. And that worked. Did it work really? I don't know. I don't know if it was just my own fantasy being nourished by that, or reality now. I don't know. It sounded like reality was kind of on board of my own creative fantasy land. And it was on board for a while. And then it kind of, dissolved. So meditation can be used for positive change in your life, but it can be used for any addictions or fantasy that you have. So it's important to, stay in check of where you're going. But again, it's a dream. We're living a dream, and therefore it becomes really hard to know what are we feeling. I don't have an answer right now of how to detect when a obsessive thought will lead to personal destruction. Having taught yoga to people in an ashram, I've seen that very often. When people have been going on with their life for like the last 50, 60 years without ever questioning all the currents that they created, when there is this event, this moment that they take off of their reality and go to a yoga ashram for a couple of weeks, the crash that happened is fairly memorable. I mean, it's just it's a very strong awakening for some people when they haven't had any question asked to their own life, and then out of a sudden everything is questioned. So I felt that this week, how the spinning, the pot that I was turning on the spinning wheel came crashing down, and it was a very high it was pretty high. I was pretty high within my own reality. If you've doing pottery, if you've ever done pottery, you know that the higher you raise the bowl or the pot that you're making, the harder it is to maintain and the easier it is to crash. And we all create reality like that, right? We all create our own realities. And within these realities, there's this, beliefs, and then there's this desires and fantasy that we create. And at one point it comes crashing. One point or another. I mean, if it's at the moment of your death, then you realize it was all an illusion. And hopefully, in some, yogic lineage, hopefully the idea is that we awaken before the moment of our death. All right. I'm thinking to have some nice Nice background recording. This is pretty chill. I might talk over it and then I might come back to it. But yeah, for those who needs a bit of a background noise for meditation, the original recording, Chi, is called Mahat. So, how would you know that your meditation practice is not helping your own life? One of the importance of meditation is to calm the mind. But meditation can also be used to fulfill some of your desires. When you realize that your reality can be created from your desires and your meditation, and that the meditation is actually enhancing that reality creation. Some people use that in business. So if you're running a business and you want to make more money, you can use meditation to do that. It will bring about a focus, a concentration, but also it would meld a little bit reality in a certain direction. So meditation is just a tool. Where you want to go, it will bring you there. So it can be reinforcing some of your latent desire. Meditating without a purpose is one of the most important thing to do once in a while. Simply relaxing, letting go of the desires, the goals, some people describe this as entering the void, where there's nowhere to be, nowhere to go. You can take a moment and imagine if you had nothing to do, nowhere to go, no one to be. You didn't need to be a wife or a mother or a girlfriend or a daughter. You don't need to be an employee or a boss or a business owner. You didn't need to pay bill. You didn't need to work. You didn't need to do your taxes. You didn't need to take care of a home. How would that feel if none of that social construct was applicable to you right now? With no worries, no concerns, no need to think about food, lodging, clothing, to love or to be loved, nothing about survival or nothing at all to worry about. No one to disappoint. No one to be proud of. If you sit in meditation with this practice of letting go of anything, of everything, the mind tend to jump of like, no, that you can't, you know, you have to, there is all that. And then you realize the social construct that we have. This is a fairly thick crust on our ego self, the patterns and the thoughts and the habits that creates who we are. It has a foundation in the culture we live in, and we sometimes don't think about all the thing we need to do just to be within this culture. We need to behave. We need to dress. We need to, you know, smell okay. We need to, you know, keep somewhat a clean appearance. We need a phone of some sort, and we need a bank account of some sort. We need a place where we live, whether it's a rental or a house, or we need, you know, some sort of activity. We need to feed that bank account and pay for the things that we need to be part of this culture. So we need some sort of a job, you know, social life of some sort, because we need to interact at least with a small amount of people. And we kind of need to look a certain way. Kind of need to dress in a certain way. And then if we're not, you know, behaving like everybody else, then we kind of have to justify why we're different by being, you know, an artist or a yogi or something. So there's this whole social and mental construct about just being part of that. And it has a fairly large cost on our life. It seems simple when you've done it your whole life, but it's a whole crust of, you know, social behavior that needs to happen. And all that, when you meditate, it can be let go of for a moment. What if you didn't need to wake up in the morning. You didn't need to get out of bed. You didn't need to dress. You didn't need to wash. You could just walk around, grab some fruit in a tree. Not because you need them, but just for the pleasure of having fruits in the morning. Lay down in a hammock on the beach for as long as you could possibly think, to the point of being bored, of not doing anything. Using your mind in this meditation, you can fantasize about not having any of these requirements for your life. You don't need to work, you don't need to make money, you don't need to do anything, you don't need to find a place to live, you don't need to clean anything, you don't even need to eat, really. Just take a moment to visualize, to imagine what it would mean to have zero responsibility, zero schedule, complete freedom. The mind might fight back, as we've been used to think in a different way for her whole life about work and all the thing we need to do in our life. But if you're able to get to a place where you experience that for a second, you experience letting go of all that you need to do, You can take a moment to observe what is the effect that it has on your mind and on your body. What if you didn't need to work ever again? What if you didn't need to think about money ever again? What if you didn't need to think about transportation, or habitation, clothing? Everything would be provided. Social life, you would receive all the love that you need, give all the love that you need to give. Using your imagination to create that reality, to experiment with that reality, and that is at the extreme opposite of a discomfortable life. And maybe your life is very comfortable, but still with some restriction. So think about these restrictions completely being removed. No need to think, to plan, to feel something is needed. And if the mind is not liking this state You can simply tell your mind, oh no, I'm just playing around, it's fine. You don't need to, you don't need to react to this. This is just a gentle practice. Using our imagination to reinvent the reality that we live in. It's like completely letting go of the life that we live in. Having no schedule for the rest of your life. Doing whatever you would like to do for the rest of your life. Without any pressure to do anything. Without any needs. Gently floating in a reality that doesn't require anything from you. Nothing to do, nowhere to be. When you are able to create that image, take a moment to observe how your mind is reacting to that sensation. Take a moment to observe how your body is reacting to this sensation. My mind tend to want to bring back my schedule, my to-do list. It wants to bring back the thing I haven't done yet. And I have to mentally push back. I said, no, I'm just playing here. It's fine. Don't need to bring about what's going on. I'm just taking a moment. I'll get back to work soon. Don't worry, I'm not giving up on life. I'm just experimenting with imagination. If you can arrive to that place where there is no goal, no tasks, no schedule, no emotions, no contraction, this place, this void, it's a place of meditation. It's very freeing. And it's very simple too. And you can come back to that place anytime. And just take a moment and imagine what it would feel like to not have anything to do, anywhere to be. The past doesn't matter anymore, and the future hasn't come. So, using the imagination, your imagination when meditating it's a very powerful tool. Because what we can create in our mind is exactly what we can create in our life. The mind can recreate all our senses, all our emotions, all the visuals, all the memories. So imagination is a very, very powerful tool. And unfortunately, we don't use it as much anymore because of the influx of all the medias and all the podcasts and the YouTube videos and everything. It becomes not that useful to use our imagination anymore. And if you are often fantasizing about the future or in your mind about the reality that you're creating, it has a positive effect because then you can use imagination in a positive way. From research, I've been keeping an eye on there are people who cannot visualize in their mind. If you say visualize an apple, then they cannot see that apple in their mind. There's a term for it that I don't have available. And there's also people who don't have a voice in their head. And some research have noted that, you know, this is getting more and more prevalent in our North American culture. Now, is it because it's something that psychologists are more aware of so that they can notice that more people don't have that internal dialogue? Or, you know, or is it something else? When I hear people are listening to a podcast 24/7 and they hear a voice in their ears instead of their head, and they do that, you know, 5 days a week when they're working, I can imagine that something like that for many years would lessen the voice that you have in your head. And similarly, if we watch videos all the time with our eyes, at one point I feel the imagery that we have in our head becomes less and less powerful too. So yeah, the usage of imagination is primordial in the meditation process. And as you can see, for the last 20 minutes, we were imagining nothing. We were imagining what it would feel to have nothing to do. So the imagination is not only about, you know, feel that you're on the side of the beach and relaxing and, you know, drinking a cocktail and doing things, but it could be also these kind of more conceptual ideas. So we can imagine things that are hard to describe. Like, you couldn't describe a life that you have nothing to do. You don't need even to eat, or, you know, this is surreal. It doesn't exist. You know, we at least have to feed ourselves and defecate and sleep and, you know, have a bit of a clothing and a cave to sleep in and some food and some water and some fresh air. So we need this kind of foundational survival thing. So by using imagination, we can just imagine the feeling of this place, this void that, you know, doesn't exist. And I think that's very important. We don't talk about imagination very often. In Zen Buddhism, in the Soto branch, they often talk about this dead tree image or symbol, and feeling like you're a dead tree. It's, I don't know, I don't like that personally, but I get the idea of this structure that is standing like a tree, but that is empty from the inside, so that there's this nothingness, this void to be sensed. And I think a lot of different meditation try to point toward that sensation of nothingness, of void. And that void is really just taking a vacation from our usual mind. And like I said earlier today, the culture we live in, there's a lot of things that are required to be part of this culture, and we tend to forget that this is all made up, you know, and, you know, it feels natural that, you know, you need a cell phone and a computer and a phone number and internet access in order to do the taxes that you have to pay for a job that you're working, so that you can pay for your bills and your housing and your food. And, you know, all of that needs to be set up, and you have to log into this system that sends a text to your phone in order so that you do all of that stuff. And, you know, this is just like one element in a, you know, good citizen that you have to abide anyway, you have to respect. If not, you're a bad citizen, and then you get, you know, persecuted. And this is just one example of all the thing we need to do just to be okay, just to be legal, just to be acceptable in this culture. I've myself questioned all of these, and I didn't pay my electrical bill for months to see what would happen, and then they cut the electricity. I was like, okay, can I live in an apartment without electricity? And then I lived in an apartment in Montreal without electricity, and then I read about that the, you know, the power company has to connect you back in the winter because they cannot let you die. So I called them, and I was like, oh, okay, so when are you going to come back to you? And it's like, no, you pay your bill. I was like, no, legally, you have to connect me. And then they did come and connect me back for the winter. And of course, when the winter was over, they had to come and disconnect me. And I didn't have a big bill. I think it was like $1,000 electrical bill or something like that. But I just wanted to see what happens when you do stuff like that, right? And, you know, nothing really happens. Like, I lived in an apartment in Montreal for years without electricity. In the winter, they would plug me back. And in the summer, I wouldn't have electricity. And I had a little gas stove. And I didn't really care. So anyway, or not paying my taxes for years, and then I get a notice from the government. It's like, oh, you haven't paid your tax in 7 years or something. And then I go to the accountant. I'm like, hey, I didn't pay my tax for 7 years. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to charge you $400 to do your taxes. And then I give him $400, and they do my taxes. And so, oh, you're receiving like $3,000 back. I'm like, what? I'm getting money? He's like, yeah. I was like, okay. And it was just interesting exploration to be like, okay, we have all these things that we need to do in order to be a good citizen. But then if you don't do it, nothing really bad happened. So it's just interesting how we have all these rules and regulation, and we just have to abide for them. All right, enough of that. Let's move on to a different song from Chi and from the original recording. I find them interesting to do a meditation on them. So yeah, you can use that if you're meditating right now, and or use the archive at a later time to get back into that place. Sorry, I need to start this one again. In order to use our mind for meditating, it's interesting to explore what can be done with the mind. The mind can reproduce our senses. Try to repeat the word meditate in your mind. Meditate. Meditate. And try to change the voice. If you're a person with a high voice, maybe you reproduce it with somebody with a lower voice. Or maybe you know a voice that you've heard quite a lot, and you can try to repeat that voice, that word, with a different voice. Meditate. Just repeat it a few times. Now you've used your mind to reproduce hearing. Now think about the blue sky with the clouds moving in front of the sky. Maybe you see a sunset. Maybe you see the night coming in, and the moon, and the sky, and the stars. And now you've used your mind to duplicate visualization or your sense of sight. Maybe you cannot see things with your mind, and that's okay. Maybe you couldn't hear a voice previously, and that's okay too. Simply observing, practicing. Now bring to mind a pleasant physical sensation, like maybe you're hugging somebody that you love, or maybe receiving a massage, focusing on the sensation of touch and how it warms up your body. Using your mind to replicate the sensation of touching. Now think about a perfume or a flower, or maybe a smell that you find that brings a lot of memories. Try to remember the sensation of that smell, maybe the smell of a rose, Or maybe a different flowers. Or maybe the smell of a perfume that reminds you of somebody that you enjoy spending time with. Remembering the sensation of smell and how it brings about memories and emotions. Now bring to mind the sensation of taste. What is the food that you really like to eat? What does it taste in your mouth? Think about the taste of salty chips or sweet chocolate. And see how the mind can also create the sense of tasting. Now that the mind can reproduce all the senses, think about a moment that you felt being loved and loving the person, and observe the sensation that comes not only into the mind but into the body. A moment that you felt loved, and that you felt that you were loving that person in return. Now with that practice, you can see how the mind can even recreate emotions. Not only the memory of an event that triggers an emotion, but for me it also generates that sensation in my body. I could feel the love inside myself, this warmth, this bit of attention. And you can see how the mind can be used with the senses, with the emotions, through the imagination and the power of the mind. So I started with the idea, the concept that our own mind can kill our body. A little brutal opening there, but this is true. Through different mechanism, our mind can actually kill ourselves. And therefore, it can also do a very positive change in our life. And that's something always to remember, that if the mind drives you crazy, like for me, it has happened in the last couple of days. My mind was really driving me nuts and I didn't know what to do with it. As powerful the mind is for negative stuff, it is as powerful for positive stuff. And always keep that in mind when you're not happy. Sometimes you need just a bit of time to calm these currents, and then you can come back to a more positive effect of the mind on the body. I think a lot of illnesses, like long-term illnesses, also comes from, how the mind, for me anyway, pester myself. A story that I've been, well, not a story, but something that I've been researching for myself is how emotion can create blood clot. So I suffered from blood clot for a long time, and I have a condition where I was rolled over by a bus when I was a kid, and it creates poor circulation in my legs. And therefore, I was kind of saying, well, it's because of that that it creates a blood clot. But it doesn't, my blood doesn't clot all the time. I was like, well, when does this happen? And then I realized that emotion might have been a big part of that. When there's a lot of stress, emotional stress, then there might be a creation of blood clot on these moments. And then something happened. My dad had a blood clot stuck in his brain, and he's doing fine. Everything was fine. And then when they scanned his brain, they realized that it happened multiple times in his life. And these are the times where he described that he almost died a few times. And he, you know, it's a story that he's been telling me in the past. And I questioned him, like, well, what was the common element in these? And this emotion that was unbearable, feeling like worthless and, you know, judging and feeling bad about himself because he was not able to do this, or because he was not able to finish this, or he was pushing himself to the limit, not because anyone was pushing him, but for his own survival of self-acceptance. This somewhat self-hatred created blood clot that almost killed him, not one time, but multiple times. And that kind of confirmed my theory, because my dad, it doesn't have any other conditions. Like, for me, I have, like, my legs, which is a problem, but for him, he's in, you know, perfect shape. The doctors are all freaking out about how healthy he is, and they have no idea what's going on with the blood clot, and it doesn't happen all the time. It just happens in these moments where he is in an emotional turmoil. And, you know, I was kind of, okay, this confirms my theory that blood clot, you know, can be created with our emotional body. And now I know and I feel it in my body. And I've experimented with myself where I go through something and then I'm like, oh, shoot, it feels stuck. I go to the hospital, I go checked. And it's like, yes, you do have a blood clot now. So, yeah, our mind can heal her body, it can heal our life, because it can also kill us. So that power that can, you know, completely destroy the body is the power that can completely heal it. And today we've experimented with a few of these sensation and, you know, getting into the void, and also using the different senses. So the mind, the foundation of meditation, is kind of recreate the senses, can recreate the emotions, and it can be used as well to remove all of the tension that we have on a social. So, like, meditation can be a break from the turmoil of the emotions that happens every day. Anyway, thanks for listening. Stick around. We have some awesome awesome exploration of music right after, with Overland and Music for Nitrogen Narcosis and Taube, of course, coming up at 19:30, and a lot more, like Haina, User Effects Net, AE, and some other people. So stick around. Nice day to listen to it on radio. Thanks again for listening. This is DJ Damaru with the Wednesday Meditation, and Tuesday Evolution Revolution at 1600 UTC. Thanks again. When there was a-